You get the full barrage of priests this morning. The house is emptied. It's good for us to be together on this Christmas morning. I don't know, I grew up on a farm. You may have heard me say that before. And so on Christmas morning, I don't know where this comes from exactly, but my dad would go out to feed the animals, and he would come back, and my mom would always ask him, did the animals talk this morning? On Christmas morning, that's supposed to be the day when the animals can speak, I guess. Maybe it's because on this Christmas morning, it was the animal's first encounter with the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. The Gospel of John is very consciously echoing the book of Genesis, which also starts with, in the beginning. It's an interesting sentence. In the beginning was the Word. We can ask ourselves a couple of questions. Who is the beginning and who is the Word? God is the beginning, right? He's the beginning of everything else. He's the beginning that has no beginning. Instead of saying in the beginning, God could just as easily have said in God was the Word. Well, that's a lot less poetic, and in some ways even less descriptive. In the beginning that has no beginning, there was the Word. The Greek word for word there is logos. We get the word logo from there. We also get logic and logical. The Word is the second person of the Trinity, the Son of the Father. The Word is Jesus Christ in his divine nature. The Word is the logic of God, the rational character of God. When God brought creation into being, he created according to the logical reasoning of the Word. That's why we have science today. Science wouldn't be possible if there wasn't logic. There wasn't reason, if there wasn't order, there wasn't the Word. God created the universe in accord with the Word, the Logos, the logical, ordering, rational character of the second person of the Trinity. When so-called atheists say they don't believe in God, on some level it means that they don't believe in science. It makes no sense. They're indirectly saying they believe in the second person of the Trinity, in the Logos Word. If it wasn't for the Word, in the beginning, science wouldn't be possible. So the Word is reason, logic, order, sensibility. I don't know if you've ever watched the movie A Man for All Seasons, right? It's all about our patron saint, St. Thomas More, who was a lawyer in England at the time of King Henry VIII, the king who broke with the Pope in order to establish a separate Anglican church. And in that movie, St. Thomas is trying his best to serve his king without renouncing his Catholic faith. And he has a wonderful line to his daughter, Meg, where he says, Meg, God made the angels to show him splendor, as he made animals for innocence and plants for their simplicity. But man, he made to serve him wittily in the tangle of his mind. Man, he made to serve him wittily in the tangle of his mind. Man was created precisely in the image and likeness of the Word. And so we're created to use our minds, as well as our hearts and our bodies, to think clever thoughts and to reason out profound truths. We serve God in our thoughts as well as in our actions, which is why Jesus said, We can also sin with our thoughts as well as with our actions. The gospel goes on to say that this word was in the beginning. I don't know about you, but I get this image of the word in the womb that is the beginning. In the womb that is God. The word was in the beginning. In God. And several verses later, John says that this word moved from being in the beginning to being in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. John says that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. His dwelling had been in the beginning, in the womb of God, but now he makes his dwelling among us. And we're able now, because of that, to see his glory. And when's the last time you witnessed the glory of God? I kind of doubt you saw it on the morning news today or any other TV program, but maybe. When's the last time you saw God's glory? And we even asked lately to be able to see his glory. When Christ was born, it was the revelation, the appearance of God, the Word made flesh. It was the appearing of true innocence and virtue, of humility and courage and bravery and chastity and fortitude and self-control and balance and moderation, zeal for goodness, etc. So whenever we encounter these virtues, we're catching a glimpse of God's glory. The birth of Christ reveals to us how we humans can and should act in the world with virtue and zeal for virtue. So yes, I have seen God's glory. In fact, just the other day, I saw an older brother take care of his little sister while the parents were busy. I saw God's glory when a lady I know wanted to respond angrily at perceived injustice, but instead held her tongue. I saw God's glory when a family called me so that their mom could receive the anointing of the sick, and how they all joined in and prayed with me. If I can see that glory, imagine what glories you too can see. If you're struggling to see that glory around you, then this celebration of Christmas is for you. Gazing at a little baby in poverty, surrounded by animals and animal smells, how did John ever see the Word made flesh? He kept looking. He kept listening. He kept praying. And he kept believing. Sometimes glory comes in very small packages. We all have to be careful how we judge others, or even how we judge ourselves. The glory of the Christ child might be reflected on your face today, or more importantly, in your actions today, whether in the tangle of our minds, in the virtue of our souls, or in the actions of our hands. Let us strive. Let us strive with zeal and joy both to see and to reflect the glory of God today. Because of Christ, because of Christmas, we can be light and truth. We must be. Come, Lord Jesus. And so the homework for the week: ask the incarnate Lord to give you eyes to see his glory this week, and to be his glory this week, great and small, in those around you and in you.